Welcome to Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP, the podcast where we spill all the tea from discussing the latest trends in pop culture to delving into the depths of therapy. We're here to demystify it all. I'm Adrienne McCollum-Smith.
And I'm Pamela Tippett. Together, we're your hosts on this journey through the world of media, lifestyle, and therapy. Whether you're sipping sweet tea or seeking solace, we've got you covered. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and join us as we navigate the intersections of therapy and everyday life.
Subscribe, listen, and let's dive into the conversations that matter.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Sweet Tea and Therapy Podcast with Adrienne McCollum-Smith and Pamela Tippett. This season, we're turning up the volume on authenticity and bringing you even more raw, real, and unfiltered conversations. As BIPOC female therapists in the South, we'll continue to dive into the unique challenges and triumphs we face in our personal and professional lives, and you can expect a few surprises along the way. In our first episode of the season, we're kicking things off with a deep dive into our shared passion project, Uncommon BIPOC, a retreat dedicated to supporting BIPOC therapists, entrepreneurs, and small business owners. We'll chat about the inspiration behind creating this space and the impact it's had on building a community of rest, growth, and connection. But that's not all. We're also sharing what we're reading and watching right now, who's riding the Hot Mess Express, and what's on our minds as we continue our own journeys of self-reflection and growth. So grab a cup of tea, get comfy, and join us for another season filled with laughter, insight, and all the Southern charm you've come to love. Let's dive in.
I just feel like what you just said about people of color talking about money is shameful. We don't talk about it. We don't, you know, broach that topic. I feel like relationships are like that too. And I really feel the struggles in both money and relationship wise, not even just romantic, but in just connecting with other people, because I was told, you know, keep your mask on, put your best foot forward, don't let people see you sweat. Like with relationships, a lot of times I didn't really see what kind of relationship my parents had until it all blew up and then it was over and nobody ever said anything. Nobody ever talked about money. Nobody ever talked about, you know, feelings or thoughts or anything of that nature. So I feel like for Uncommon to do things like talk about these two things in particular for people of color is very important. So I feel like every time we do something, I want to talk about trauma. I want to talk about money. I want to talk about relationships. I want to talk about, you know, emotional things, because I feel like that's just not, you know, something that we do. And somebody, a client yesterday said something. This client was going through, their child died, and he eulogized somebody at a funeral, and he talked about his loss and how therapy helped him. And he said this one woman who lost her son in 1999 said, "That is the first time I ever cried for my son." And then my client who lost a child said, "How did you make it that long without talking about it or discuss or even crying about it?" She said, "I was told you have to be strong."
Well, I hate that. That's a long time. But yeah, it's so much in our community that we don't talk about. Like you said, you know, money, feelings, relationships, abuse. We don't talk about mental health, you know, even the way we, you know, historically, I think, hopefully it's shifting more and more every day now, but with severely mentally ill people in our community, don't talk about it. Don't look, don't say anything, don't ask any questions. He's just a little touched. We don't have real names for what's going on with people. And it's just really, it's sad, and it has done us a great disservice, I think.
That was so well said. And I think that is what I wanted to do with this retreat, is because even when we're talking about career stuff, we just got finished talking about being private practice owners. And, you know, until we met each other, we were both in our own separate corners trying to figure it out, and hearing other people, not of this community, not of our color, not of our culture, talk about, oh, just do this or just do that or just do this. And I don't think that they're necessarily wrong, but when you're talking to people who are starting from ground zero, right, with no real good working knowledge of, like, especially finances when it comes to business, we're just learning finances, you know, like personally. Now you're talking about this, it's like you're speaking Chinese to us. So I hear what those folks were saying, not knocking it necessarily. But as I was hearing this other young lady talk, like, does anybody have a presentation on the tax part? Does anybody do that presentation?
That part, and to talk about write-offs, my accountant is a white man, okay? And, you know, he can be a little condescending, especially if you haven't had other conversations with him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I first came into private practice, I thought that spending my money was a way to avoid paying taxes. I thought you just put it back in the business and write it off, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said that, he kind of scoffed at it almost, you know, and was like, yeah, but you still need to keep some of the money. And he made reference to a Seinfeld episode about write-offs and stuff like that. And I felt a little, you know, I sort of appreciated it, because if I'm wrong about it, tell me. But it didn't feel good to have a white man kind of laughing at me about, you know, my assumption and ignorance, to be frank about it, you know. So, yeah, it would be nice if we had safe spaces. I said all that to say, if we had a safe space to really talk through these things and get the right information, it could be a game changer. And mm-hmm, then I want to say about the community aspect of it and having the safe space is, 1 year I spoke about imposter syndrome. I think it was mm-hmm last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that helps reduce some of that when we can all sit down. You know, I can look at you and think like, oh man, she's got it all figured out. She's got it together. She's doing these retreats. She's got her own business. She's doing supervision. So she's got a really sort of diversified portfolio, I guess you could say, or, you know, income. And, you know, people, I think, look at Inspire Counseling and they go to our website and they go to, you know, whatever I don't know, I'm assuming the website and social media, and make assumptions mm-hmm as well, and not knowing that we're trying to figure things out. But if I think like you talked about the other people who, oh, just do this, just do that, oh, we're bringing in, you know, $500,000 or $1 million a year, to be in those spaces and to hear that and to not ever hear anybody else struggling, it can make you feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm, so I think just to reduce some of that in clinicians of color, BIPOC, you know, providers, we got to talk about it.
I agree.
For the shame and discomfort.
Man, I agree. I like that you shared the thing about your accountant. And my accountant's not a man, it's a female, but she is a white female. And I really appreciated her when we looked at the numbers and we looked at write-offs. She really had a very compassionate way of saying what, you know, he said. And she spent like hours with me, like saying, like, this is how you do this the right way. This is what you want to be writing off. This is what you don't want to be writing off. Don't do this next year. Don't do this next year. Do that next year. Do this next year. Keep working on that. And I really appreciated that. And I hate that it didn't come from somebody who looks like me. She really just was able to say like, hey, and I feel like sometimes even amongst within the community, there is like a fear of looking bad. And I learned that too from, you know, you don't want to look bad in front of some people. You don't want to let any certain people see you sweat. And I feel that sometimes within the community. So it was really, that's why this, I'm very passionate about Uncommon, because I like it that other therapists, entrepreneurs of color, small business owners of color can hear somebody of color say, the mask is off. This is what it's really like. This is what is actually going on. This is me. And I don't know about you, even outside of this space, I struggle to find places where, especially in the Black community, that people don't, you know, we're told always put your best foot forward. You know, I feel like culturally, it's like you can't look any other way. But just showing up as you and letting people know that this is where I am, good, bad, and everything in between. I really want other people of color to see somebody of color being that authentic, whether it's business, whether it's emotionally, financially, because like you said, we just don't hear. We just, like you said, you look at Inspire, they're doing great. This person's doing great. That person's doing great. Like, I'm over here in the corner, I'm not doing great. Like, oh my God. So that is something I really wanted to break. And even us having these very candid conversations that we have, I think are just very cathartic in the fact that it's like, hey, I could just be myself here and it's fine. And this is what it is. And like the closer I get to therapists and these different corners, it's not that we haven't cracked a code. This
oh no, please don't tell me we got crabs in the bucket. And
no crabs in the bucket. It's not that we, I'm going to say you're right. You're partially right, but that's not where I was going. But we do have crabs in the bucket, and that's going to be a little sidebar. But I think that it's not that we haven't cracked the code. I think there is no code. I think we're doing all of the right things. And I wanted to tell you, you're doing everything right. There is no fucking code. It's fucking hard.
It's just hard. It's just hard.
And nobody's going to tell you that.
And it's just, it's interesting how much effort goes into making it look good.
If a new entrepreneur comes to me and they ask me questions, I'll tell them, like I tell my supervisees, here's how I did it. However, here's some of the pros and cons of doing this. Here's what I experienced. Yes.
Yes. And also, or maybe however, I don't know, we started our businesses in 2019, pre-pandemic.
That's right.
Things change.
That's right.
Look at real estate right now. When I got my first office, I paid $300 a month. It was a dentist that, you know, it had to be just divinely orchestrated because I wasn't connected. He's a Shannara and I was not connected. I didn't know, but it just so happened he had his dental practice in Montevallo. And I went into this real estate place and I'm like, hey, I'm looking for office space. They say, hey, you might want to talk to this lady. She works for this doctor, da 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 there. So long story short, he cleaned out one of his dental offices that was like in the back of his practice. It had its own private entrance and waiting area. And then he, in the little dental room, he got all of his equipment out of there and renovated it for me to be able to have a space, put a door on it, and only charged me $300 a month. And it's just like, good luck finding that. That was like how it worked out and played out for me, but I got lucky, I think, or like I said, it was just meant to be.
Right.
And so it's hard to tell somebody exactly what you did and for them or you to think that they can take that and recreate the same thing, you know? So with telling them the whole thing, we have to be mindful that times change very quickly. In 6 years, a lot
has changed. But even saying that part to people, I did this. However, it was pre-pandemic. It was this, it was that, it was this, and not leaving those parts out. And I feel like as I've gone along, some of those parts have been left out. Like even some of the people who I've seen be very successful with retreats, you started at a time before, like pre-pandemic, or, you know, things were just highly different, or you got in on the front end. So like letting people know that this is working for me. However, this, I had this going for me. It was during this time, like laying all the cards out, so to speak.
Tell the whole story.
Tell the whole story. And I feel like that's the piece where, you know, is missing. And I see that when I do supervision, because a lot of them are here in hopes to go into private practice. A big part of my supervision, at least once or twice a year, we have private practice series where we talk about all the things and we talk about what happens, the good, the bad, and everything in between. And I feel like that is something I also feel very passionately about, because there's all these things on all social media platforms about being a boss, being an entrepreneur, doing this, and, you know, especially within, and people want to make it seem like if you put a TikTok up or an Instagram up, people will come. That's not true.
You might get one or two.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
You might get one or two.
You're correct. And really telling people, and I tell my supervisees, they're like, well, I don't like doing social media, so it's fine, because that's not what's going to translate into a full practice. Honestly, like we were talking about before, it's just going to take time. Even with all the efforts of you trying to get your folks full, it just takes, look, we're from Alabama here, and I don't know about anywhere else, but word of mouth is still king where I'm from.
Yes, it's the best marketing still.
Mm-hmm.
Still, yeah. And that's what I tell my folks is that, like, hey, y'all need to get additional training, additional education, you know, so that you really have something to offer and retain your people, and attract, you know, some folks.
Right. You're right. I tell mine, I was like, I'm being real with you. Like before I had a full practice when I was working for a psychiatrist and I didn't have people on the schedule. When I didn't have anybody on the schedule, I was still seeing kids and teens. I go to pediatricians' offices, let them see my face, because a lot of times the people can see you, hear you. They're like, oh, that sweet little girl came by here and dropped off her stuff. And I don't know about anywhere else. I'm only speaking about my experience here, but that really created traction. I'm like, are you networking? Do you go to these conferences? Do you go to retreats? Do you go let other, like, a lot of people don't see kids and teens. I don't care if you don't like it out the gate. You go out there and you go to the pediatrician's office. You go to these networking events. I see kids and teens. You do that part of it too. And even with that, Adrian, time, you have to do that enough and you have to give it time. So that's something I really tell them too, because a lot of them is like, it's been 3 months and I'm not full yet. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful though. I'm grateful for you and grateful, you know, that we have been able to find some spaces and some moments in time to get this stuff out. And I hope that the listeners of our podcast also, you know, whether you're a therapist, entrepreneur, or just going into some other industry as an entrepreneur, my hope is that, you know, we can shed some light on some of those challenges and, you know, and that you don't see them as personal failures, but as growing pains that just are inevitable with growing anything. So I'm hopeful that they will receive that and be encouraged.
Well, I think with that too, I'll say this. There's a few things I want to say, like just developing yourself too in other ways, making sure you're taking care of yourself. You're not putting too much of your emotional money within your career and placing too much value on that, because as I tell clients, I use emotional accounting all the time. If you put all your funds in one place and something happens to that place, you better have something like in other parts of the, you better save stuff in other places so that all your little funds are not immediately gone. And I just want to tell anybody listening, if you're an entrepreneur, make sure that you're not placing all your value in like just how you're succeeding or not within that space. So that, I'm going to say that too. I always tell people who do this, find other places to enrich yourself, you know, to find value in your life outside of doing this, because it can seem all consuming, and it is all consuming, but that you have places where you're developing yourself in other ways, taking care of yourself like that. So I do, before we go, want to ask you, what are you watching and reading in that vein? And what are you doing to enrich yourself? What are you learning? What are you watching that's fun? In your life, what's going on? Okay. What are you watching right now?
What am I watching? So right now I am watching Reasonable Doubt. I'm caught up. So I watch that every week. I just finished the first season of Outlander.
I've not seen that, but I've heard of it. Yes.
And it's different content, I guess you could say, for me, because I haven't ever really had an interest in, like, well, I'm not going to say haven't ever really had, but I will say this. I have been more intentional about consuming things just for pleasure, just for entertainment, and not trying to learn new skills all the time. Not reading self-help books and how to do and all of that. I'm just really trying to, you know, like you say, enrich just some other aspects of my life. I have proven that I can be a good student. I have proven that I can be a good therapist or social worker and open a business and run it. Okay, what else, right? So Outlander is, it's about this woman who travels back in time. Mm-hmm. She goes to this like rock hill, and there, it's known that if you go to these rocks and you touch them, that you can go back to in time and find your spiritual lover, the person that, you know, you loved in a different lifetime. And but she knows what's happening in her present day too. So like, she's using what she learned in history to help these people that it's good.
Oh, I need to check that out, because people always say, well, if I knew then what I know now, it's like, and there's always these scenarios where if you go back in some of these movies, you can't tell people or anything, you can't bring the knowledge. But this one, I like that spin where she still has knowledge that she can utilize.
It's good.
I want to watch that.
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix.
I love that.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, and my son is doing tackle football, so we do that on the weekends.
Okay.
He has games. I have also recently started, and I posted this on my Therapist of the South Instagram, but I started a note in my phone, and the title is Things That I'm Discovering and or Rediscovering About Myself, because I have felt so disconnected, you know, from those parts of me, because I've been trying to run a business and becoming a wife and becoming a mom and, you know, being in my 30s now through all of that. It's just like, damn, I need to, like, you know, find myself in all of this. So I have a document that I, you know, just when I reflect or when something comes up and I notice it about myself, I put it in there just to, you know, kind of just bring more awareness and more consciousness to who I am outside of the titles and outside of how I think that I'm perceived by others.
Love that. And I love that you're doing it in your 30s. I think that's a perfect time to do it. I feel like in my 40s, it's kind of like the awareness of who I am. It's just like it comes blaring at you and it's there, and it's like, I don't know, it's like you take a lot more ownership and live in it, you know? So I wish I had done more of that then, but I think I love that. And I would dare ask you sometimes if you might bring one of those revelations.
I can share one with you now. Let me
see. Go ahead.
I'm gonna try to pick something good. Let's see. So I'll give you two or three. So one of them is, so some of it is either things that I've always kind of known, like that's been with me. Some of it is things that I am really just learning. And then some of it is things that like I want to do or want to experience more of and just haven't had the opportunity yet. So one of the things that I put is I want to learn more about art and develop a greater appreciation for it. I'd like to have a nice, a few nice pieces in my house like that are meaningful and, you know,
whatever.
I allowed other people's issues to affect me. I accepted things that were not acceptable for who I am and who I'm becoming. I no longer want to do that.
I love that. I love that one.
Thank you. I hate small talk. I like to go deep. I understand small talk is sometimes necessary.
I love it. Both things can be true.
Yeah.
Both things can be true. That's something in my 40s. I love it when people come in and tell me, well, this, but that. I'm like, no, both can be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm going to share one of that in one of my reflections, because I actually have this reflection deck.
Okay.
I made a deck out of some of my reflections. So I'll share some of mine too, but I want to go to your second one where you said you've accepted things, you know, that maybe you shouldn't have, and you realize that about yourself. I feel like you do kind of come into that. You're like, I'm a grown ass person. I don't have to go along with absolutely anything. And I think one of my revelations, and people give me a lot of shit about this one, is that, Adrian, nobody loves me that much, nor do I love anybody else that much. So it's really okay for me to not do all the things to please them, because nobody loves anybody. Everybody loves themselves first and foremost. And it's okay for me to do that too, and not accept and tolerate and go along just for the sake of being accepted, cared for, loved, supported. So I have this saying where nobody loves me that much. Mm-hmm. And nor do I anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I. People are like,
love others so much that it hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's real. Yeah. That's just, it's not, that ain't where it's at.
That is not a flex. And I know a lot of people are, you know, they're clutching their pearls when I say that. But I was like, I think you're doing that because a realization is that nobody will ever love you that much either. And I know that that's scary, but it's actually very true, because at the base of it, most people love themselves first and foremost. And that's not, all of this can be true, and that's okay. So I really had that realization when you said that. I thought about that too. And expectations that we have. I'm going to love this person, so I'm just going to do all these things, and it's going to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. And no, honey, nobody loves you that much.
that's that fairy tale stuff that Dr. Bryant was talking about when she was reading Cam Newton.
I know.
I struggled to get through that conversation.
I couldn't do it. It was just so, I watched a lot of it, but it got to be like you're getting secondhand embarrassment, and you're like, oh my God, this is how limit. I was just like, no, I got the gist of this. Yeah.
Yeah. My hat's off to her, because she handled it well, much better than I think I could have. He was difficult to talk to.
And we've met people like that. And even now as a therapist, when I get clients like that, I have no problem doing a lot of the same thing with people. You want this and you want that, and you're like that, well, here's what that's costing you, you know. And my favorite thing, so you might not want to come back after I say this, and that's okay, because I feel like if I don't say it, I'm not doing my due diligence as a therapist. So you make that choice as you will. But I think that realization that you shared in your second reflection is something that's helped me as a therapist. And that's usually what I get recommendations off of. The main thing I get through word of mouth is, if you want to know the truth, go talk to her.
Yeah, good. That's a good reputation in what we do, because I am also learning just from my clients who have seen other providers, mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of people just sit there and nod and just let you kind of go, and not giving much feedback, not really giving homework. And it's like, well, how is that helping?
I've heard that too. And honestly, because I do care a lot about the profession. And at the base of it, I do have a servant's heart, and I know why people are there. And at the very, very base level, it's like, I like to have people get bang for their buck. You know, you're taking time and money, so let's do something with it. So I really like that second reflection you have, because as a mom, a wife, a friend, a therapist, it's very important that you don't fall into just going along with things because that's what might make somebody feel good. And I heard the best podcast on countertransference. A lot of times therapists don't say anything because what are they? They're going to be upset with me. They're not going to mm-hmm. like that. That's, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that's not what they want to hear, but they're paying for the things that you don't want to do. So I really, really like that reflection a whole lot that you shared. I will say the things that I'm doing now to enrich my life, I've become an avid reader. I've been one, but sometimes I don't read as much, but this year I've really read a lot. And the most recent thing I read was, I think it's called A Southern, let me get this out here because it is very interesting. This book is called The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires.
Oh my goodness.
It sounds weird. It sounds like campy or whatever, but this book club of Southern women start reading true crime novels, but then somebody comes into their little town and they become suspicious of him. And they realize that this man is not who he seems. And these nice Southern ladies have to decide a way to confront him and stop him from what he's doing. They're all like the people pleasing thing. And they're all like these Southern ladies like doing these things. And they really have to find their voice, be okay with not being liked, do things they don't want to be doing in order to handle what this person and take care of what they've been doing. So I absolutely love it, but reader beware, it's intense on all levels. It is highly intense, and it doesn't sound like that. And even I was like, I don't know if I can listen to what this person is about to say, because when the vampire in here, as opposed to stuff like Twilight, this person is like a predator, a sexual predator. He's a predator. He is like, I was clutching my pearls. I was like, let me take a breath.
Oh my goodness.
It was very, very, very intense. I'll say that.
Okay.
Highly.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say listen, you could try to listen to it, but there's some parts I gotta turn it off. I can't.
And see, I don't like horror type stuff. Like, I cannot do a scary movie at all.
I remember you said that.
And like, just anything that's gonna have me anxious and on edge, I don't know.
I'm gonna say beware, but what you see, what shines through, is if you decide to pick this up, is you see these women who find their voice, and people doubt them, and they doubt themselves, and they find it, and they address not even this predator, but their own personal issues through doing what they're doing and how they come together to manage this. So yes, it's got the very intense piece, but when you see how they come through it, it's like, it's pretty, it's good. It's really, really good.
It sounds interesting.
It is interesting.
That's really good. The last book I completed was An American Marriage.
I've read that one.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I am currently reading Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan.
I've heard of that one. I've heard of that one.
I'm on like chapter 9. So far it's okay. And I think it's going to be fairly predictable.
See, I don't like that in a book.
Yeah. I think I was probably recommended to read it because, well, a lot of people like it. But there is, where I am in the book right now is about the husband or ex-husband / dad going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's just going to kind of get his son to go. And so, but then, you know, they're talking about his first session and he's saying more than he's realizing he's saying and feeling away when the therapist points stuff out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'll finish the book and let y'all know what I think.
I'm on like my 16th or 17th book. So I have lots of recommendations, but that's just the most, I got some good, I have a list of like, and I've rated each one of them. So I've really gotten into that. And that's been a real fun way to enrich myself. So I borrow some, I buy some, I'm getting my book collection together, and I buy the ones that I think I'm going to go back and reread. But that is just the one I just finished.
Mm-hmm.
So I read things that have as little to do with therapy as possible. Because sometimes I do read the other ones, but some of the ones I read are, I read anything, just about anything, I'll give it a chance. So that's the most recent. But another really good one you should read is The Last One by Will Dean. It is where a woman goes on a cruise with her boyfriend, and when she wakes up the next morning, she's the only one on the boat, but it's still moving and it's still going, but she's on the boat by herself.
I don't see how that can be interesting.
It is wild when you find out why she got left on that boat by herself.
It's called The Last One.
And how everybody got off the boat without her knowing. And okay. What they're actually doing to her as to why she's left on the boat.
Oh my gosh. So it was planned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I might check that one out.
You can check out.
Listen, this is what I was going to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Do you read multiple books at the same time? Okay.
I do. I got another. I'm reading A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's romanticy. It's like romance and fantasy. I really don't like romance that much, but it's a series, so I like that. I'm reading the Court of Thorns and Roses series now. And I really want to read this because they say it's spooky season. It's like White is for Witching. And it's got a Get Out vibe to it is what I've been told. So okay. I just got that one and it's on its way. So I got about, no, and then I have a fourth at this, I think another one going too. Blackbird Oracle. So yeah, because I could get through them. I actually read some, I listen to others. And when I'm at the gym, because I could get through them faster that way. That is my new enrichment. I'm very much involved in it now, so it's kind of cool to share. But read the last one, and I will say this. I use some of the books in supervision because they can diagnose. I could give diagnostic impressions of the characters, and they could give a treatment plan for how they would treat them if they were actually.
Oh, I love that.
So that's a reason why I do it, too.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's twofold, so I'm having some fun with that. So in the spirit of what you share for your reflection, I have a couple, and I always have my little cards that I make. And these cards I made, they're my reflections, but managing expectations, whether it's of yourself or even being a therapist entrepreneur, managing those expectations. And it says, we often express issues with something or someone in our lives. And it's usually disappointment, you know, when people are talking about, you know, this should be this way, this should be that way, this shouldn't be like that. And they're here usually in therapy to try to find out how I can help them, their expectations be what they want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, even as I'm reading this, as I think about being a private practice owner, it's like I'm doing what clients do. And I usually found out that the person in question, or really even the situation in question, really wasn't the issue. It is how I am choosing to think about and manage my expectations of the situation or the person. So even when I came in and I was saying, you know, I'm good. I still feel the same. I know what it is, and managing my expectations of others and of situations. And a lot of times I realize I expected things to go, and I usually expect them to go the way I want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And no. And being an entrepreneur is just another one of those things where I had an expectation and I was looking for something and I was failing to, you know, not just failing, but not really allowing myself to look at all aspects and, you know, see things as the way I needed to see,
mm-hmm.
seeing it for what it was. So managing expectations is one that most clients come in for. And I still, you know, we're all 3-year-olds. We want what we want when we want it. So just managing expectations is something that I'm still personally working on. And I see that pop up. And, you know, watching out for the fix, which is another one I struggle with a lot. So I made that card, says watch out for the fix. We often want to fix situations or feelings that are causing discomfort, but we got to understand that there's not an answer to everything. There's not a fix to everything. And that's just what it is. And focusing on fixing something can also make things feel worse, because the things that cannot be fixed, it's like a process or a journey, and there's no answer or there's no complete understanding. If you lean too far in that, I got to get this figured out, you can end up feeling worse. And like we talked about, look at certain situations as growth. Look at them as learning. Look at them as, you know, an experience. And you can free up a lot of space in your life if you manage like trying to fix it, figure it out, understand it all. Some things are just
what they are, what they are. And I like that about watch for the fix, because I think too, a lot of people just skip straight to that step without the reflection piece, the processing and digesting of like, this happened. Okay. And here's how I feel about it. And what does that mean for me? You know, and then do I have any control? Is this mine to fix to begin with? Or does this belong to someone else?
For me, and talking about being an entrepreneur, I think this one really sticks out for me and some of the things that we've talked about today. Being an entrepreneur is an up and down type thing. It's not always a constant state of winning or perfection or success. There is a big learning curve. There's a lot of growth that needs to happen. And there is no fix to this. It's learning, growing, pivoting, learning, growing, pivoting. And that's it. There's no necessary arrival to this wonderful place. And even those that look like they've arrived, it's like going behind the scenes and seeing the little thing, like it looks all smooth on the top, like a duck, you know, it's just like gliding. But underneath, it's like, there's all the pedaling. I feel like that's what this is kind of like, even when it looks one way.
Yeah.
You just don't know how much the person is invested in their process or what's happening in order for it to look like that on the time. So those are mine for today.
So what is the daily practice for that though? Like being aware of the fix, like how do you not, because like, you know, when our emotions get involved and we don't take that pause, you know, so like to me, I try to do little things daily to remind me of whatever I come up with from my reflection. So what does that look like for you when it's really uncomfortable and you're being aware of the fix? What is the inner dialogue like?
It goes with the first thing I said. What were you expecting? I go back and I'll say it to myself like that. What did you expect? Especially if it's a person, sometimes it's like you expected like an eagle and you got a pigeon. It's like, what were you? And you know you're dealing with a pigeon, but you expected an eagle. It goes back to that. It's like, wait a minute, what did you expect? And a lot of times, that's why I put those two together. A lot of times, if I'm really struggling and I'm trying to figure it out, get answers, understand, I had an expectation, whether I realized it or not. Like, this is something I can fix in this amount of time. That's an expectation. Yeah. I can be a 6-figure entrepreneur in 3 years. It's like, you know, maybe we don't verbally say it out loud, but underneath, there's a thought. And I will go back to, I was like, you know what? You want this and you are looking for this answer. Like, what were you expecting? What's the honest answer to that? Or if it's a relationship, and I have people come and talk about that all the time. And a lot of times, Adrian, this is going to sound so trite and trivial, but people were complaining about X, Y, and Z. I'm like, have they ever done that? Have they ever done these things that you're talking? And they'll be like, no, but we're going to stop right there. So what are you expecting? And it, a lot of times when it comes to people not understanding something or trying to fix something, you could go back to that initial, like, what were you thinking here? And even when it comes to the business and my expectations here, I see that that's a part of my struggle as an entrepreneur. It's like, I thought it was going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this. And sometimes that's even hard because sometimes you feel like a little kid. It's like you were expecting candy and rainbows. And and it's like, you know what? That's a part of why I'm struggling. I thought it was going to be this way. And I literally am still low-key thinking that. And I still feel that come up. I'm still in the back of my mind thinking, I can get to this. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that I can't, but what it's going to take to get there. I think you said it. Is this something that I can commit to get over there to what the expectation was? Do I have the emotional wherewithal,
mm-hmm.
financial wherewithal? Is that really a realistic expectation to have? So a lot of times if I'm struggling with fixing something and figuring out, I'm like, wait a minute, what are you actually thinking here? What's going on there?
Yeah. Okay.
That's how I deal with the fixed thing.
Yeah. Just staying really mindful of your own expectations. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a person or a situation.
I love that. So who's on the Hot Mess Express this week before we go?
You already mentioned a few. I mean, you know, I already mentioned a few, and I don't know if anybody listening this wants to rehash any of it. But I just, for me, I think we've been on this for a while, but it's like men and women, specifically Black men and women in relationships. Why are we doing this to each other? Why are we doing? And you know what? People, one side wants to blame the other and the other side wants to blame the other. And we're all complicit.
Mm-hmm.
We're all complicit in some type of way. And really being able to say, this is just not healthy on either side. How can we, you know, learn and be better? You know, I feel like just even with the Cam Newton thing, and that's a Black relationship, and, you know, and those conversations that went on with that, it's just like, why does it have to be that way or that way, or just, you know, women being submissive or men just, you know, being more emotionally intelligent? You know, why can't we just both look at what's worked and what doesn't work and what got us here and start from there? But I feel like Black men and women are, we've been riding for a little bit of a minute now. I don't know how you feel about that, but.
Wow. So really just the culture and how we're showing up in the spaces of these times, which is on the internet, you know, lots of podcasts, lots of think pieces and opinions. And it is kind of like this gender war.
It is.
Specific to our community. Cardi B and Offset, it's just so hard to watch them tear each other down. And what the young people say, crash out. You heard that? Crash out? Yeah, you know, crashing out all over the internet, airing their dirty laundry, and everybody picking a side with that. I think I have to agree with you that we're kind of all on the Hot Mess Express. We're not even gonna talk about P. Diddy.
And that, we could take that back, because to me, like, when I look at somebody like that, I know they've been highly traumatized. There's some family of origin issues. And I'm guessing a woman of color raised that person. That's what I think. And not that she did. I don't know what she did or didn't do, but I feel like it's a pattern. It's not there's one answer and there's one thing that's just going to make it better. You know, we Black women stop doing this or we do that, or they stop doing, Black men stop doing this or they do that. I don't think there's just one answer. I don't think that is the fix. We just got finished talking about the fix. It's about going back. The expectations I think we have are unrealistic, seeing as most of us, like, I hear that there's a lot of generational trauma, a lot of ignorance about having a healthy relationship, what that looks like. I just think there's a lot of different facets of this where it's just not one thing that's going to fix it. I don't think it's going to be one thing to fix it. So I really just watch all of it unfold online, and it just literally, it's heartbreaking to watch sometimes. And I don't know about other cultures, but if this is going on in their cultures, I don't know about it. I don't know that it is. And even if they were at war against each other, it's just to do it sometimes in the ways that we do it, and, you know, publicly picking sides and having commentary. I think, yes, there needs to be some conversations that publicly do happen, but the way that we are doing it, sometimes I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
So I don't know who you think is on the Hot Mess Express or
that. I mean, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we're all jumping off and on.
And I don't know about you, how many people of color you see that are in relationship, Black people in relationships, but I hear a lot of the same narratives in here. And I really try to put that message out instead of always looking outwardly and saying, well, if you just did this, what are you doing? What are your expectations like? And start from within before you start doing this, and let's start there.
Yeah.
And everybody who comes in with some of these talking points they've seen on social media or whatever, like, oh, it's their fault because, you know, they don't do this, that, or that. So what are you doing? Because honestly, you're here with me. So what are you doing?
And it goes back to self-awareness. A lot of people don't know. They think that they've got it all right and they're right and everybody else is wrong. I have a client, you know, very intelligent, amazing job, dream life kind of situation, you know, but when it comes to the relationship, this situationship that she's in, you know, it's so many the insight is just not there. And then it's like when I say, well, you know, what did you expect? You know, what did you expect when you did da 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 da, right? And then it's like, oh, well, when you put it like that.
I love it.
Yeah, when you put it like that. Yeah, like, oh, I ain't.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Starts with you.
Yeah.
And all of this starts with each of us as individual Black people. What are we doing? And so sometimes when they bring up these, have you seen, what do you think? No. I'm not going to jump on either side. Let's talk about how this works for you and what you're taking from this and what you're doing with some of these talking points and how it's affecting you.
Yeah.
And that's all I want to talk about. And people don't want to talk about that. So I think that's why we stay on the Hot Mess Express, is because you said the awareness is so hard for people. It's so much easier to say, well, if you only do this, then I wouldn't have a problem. No.
Yep.
You know, so that's my Hot Mess Express. And I just appreciate your time today. And I have a very interesting idea to run by you for in our next podcast. So everybody who's listened, thank you if you're listening, and we appreciate you. And we hope to have you come back and join us.
Okay. See you guys next time.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sweet Tea and Therapy with A&P.
We hope you enjoy diving into the behind-the-scenes world of therapy and everything in between with us.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and join us next time for more candid conversations and a fresh brew of tea.
Until then, take care, be kind to yourselves, and keep sipping on that
sweet tea.